control, we have to doubt that. So now we can look at the bigger picture. And what we are going to do here is we are going to use this same graph that we used before to estimate the creation dates, but in a different way. So we can actually see the lowest and the highest points of Facebook IDs in this graph. So we know the newest Facebook ID by creating a new account, and we know the lowest ID because it's zero. And then we know that there are 40 billion Facebook IDs. Now, in the next step, we took a sample, a random sample from these 40 billion Facebook IDs, and inside of this sample, we checked if these accounts exist, if this ID corresponds to an existing account. And we do that because we obviously cannot check 40 billion accounts, 40 billion IDs, but we can check a small sample of these accounts, of these IDs, and estimate then the number of existing accounts on Facebook in total. So for this, we repeatedly access the same sample of 1 million random IDs over the course of 1 year. And we also pulled a sample of 10 million random IDs for closer analysis this July. And now Dennis is going to tell you how we did it.
Yeah, well, pretty interesting results so far, right? So we again implemented a crawler a second time for gathering public Facebook information, public Facebook account data. And yeah, this was not so easy as in the first case. Yeah, as it's not surprising that Facebook is using a lot of measures to block the automated crawling of the Facebook page, for example, with IP blocking or capture solving. But we were pretty easy. We could pretty easy solve this problem by using the Tor anonymity network. So every time our IP got blocked by crawling the data, we just made a new Tor connection and changed the IP. And this is also with the captures. And with this easy method, we were able to crawl all the Facebook, all the public Facebook data. Let's have a look at two examples. The first example is facebook.com/4, so the very small Facebook ID. In this case, we are redirected and check the response and find a valid account page. Does anyone know which account this is? Number 4. Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah, that's correct. This is a public account from Mark Zuckerberg. Number 4, as we see, as we already saw, the other IDs are really high, but he got the number 4. The second example was facebook.com/3. In this case, we are not forwarded, and this means that it is an invalid account, and that was really easy to confirm with a quick Google search, and it was a test account from the beginning of Facebook. So we did not get redirected, and it's just the login page from Facebook. With these examples, we did a lot more experiments, and at the end, we were able to build this tree. And this tree represents the high level approach from our scraper. So in the what's that?
He's sleeping.
Yeah. We have still time, right? So
wait.
It's
bedtime.
Okay, everyone is waking up again. So in the first step, we call the domain www.facebook.com/fid. If we get redirected in this case, then we checked if the page is an account page. If it's an account page, then it's a public account, like the example 4. And we were able to save the raw data, the raw HTTP source. If it's not a account page, then everything is okay. It is not a public account, and we are not able to save any data. And if we do not get redirected in the first step, then we call the second domain facebook.com/profile.php?id the FID with the mobile user agent. And if we get redirected then again it is a non-public profile and we cannot save anything. But and if we get not redirected, it is an invalid profile and it is most often a deleted account. Yeah, and yeah, that's the high-level overview of our scraper, and Philip will now give some more information on interesting results.
So the most interesting result of this scraping of this sample of Facebook IDs was that 1 in 4 Facebook IDs corresponds to a valid account. And you can do the math. There are 40 billion Facebook IDs, so there must be 10 billion registered users on Facebook. And this means that there are more registered users on Facebook than there are humans on Earth. And also it means that it's even worse than that, because not everybody on Earth can have a Facebook account, because not everybody, you need a smartphone for that, and many people don't have those. So this is actually a pretty high number, and it's very unexpected. So in July 2019, there were more than 10 billion Facebook accounts. Also, we did another research on the time frame between October 2018 and today, or this month, and we found that in this time frame, there were 2 billion new registered Facebook accounts. So this is like the time frame of 1 year, more or less, and in a similar time frame, the monthly active user base rose by only 187 million. Facebook deleted 150 million older accounts between October 2018 and July 2019, and we know that because we pulled the same sample over a longer period of time, and then we watched for accounts that got deleted in the sample, and that enables us to estimate this number of 150 million accounts that got deleted that are basically older than our sample. So I made some nice graphs for your viewing pleasure. So again, the older accounts were just 150 million were deleted since October 2018. These are accounts that are older than last year. And Facebook claims that since then, about 7 billion accounts got deleted from their platform, which is vastly more than these older accounts. And that's why we think that Facebook mostly deleted these newer accounts. And if an account is older than a certain age, then it is very unlikely that it gets deleted. Also, I think you can see the scales here. So, of course, registered users are not the same thing as active users, but you can still see that there are much more registrations of new users than there are active users, than there are new active users during the last year. So, what does this all mean? Does it mean that Facebook gets flooded by fake accounts? We don't really know. We only know these numbers. What Facebook is telling us is that they only count and publish active users. As I already said, that there is a disconnect between this registered users and the active users, and Facebook only reports on the active users. Also, they say that users register accounts, but they don't verify them or they don't use them, and that's how this number gets so high. But I think that that's not really explaining these high numbers, because that's just by orders of magnitude larger than anything that this could cause. Also, they say that they regularly delete fake accounts, but we have seen that These are mostly accounts that get deleted directly after their creation. And if they survive long enough, then they are getting through. So what does this all mean?
Okay, so you got the full load, which I had like over 2 or 3 months. And what for me was, or for us was, one very big conclusion was that we have some kind of broken metric here. That all the likes and all the hearts on Instagram and the followers, that they can so easily be manipulated. And then it's so hard to tell. In some cases, it's so hard to tell if they are real or not real. And this opens the gate for manipulation and for, yes, untrueness and for economic losses. If you think as somebody who is investing money and or as an advertiser, for example, and in the very end, it is a case of eroding trust, which means that we cannot trust these numbers anymore. These numbers are, you know, they are so easily they can be manipulated, and why should we trust this? And this has a severe consequence for all the social networks if you are still in them. So what can be a solution? And Philip, you thought about that.
So basically, we have two problems. One is click workers and one is fakes. The click workers are basically just hyperactive users, and they are selling their hyperactivity. And so what social networks could do is just make interactions scarce, so just lower the value of more interactions. If you are hyperactive users, then your interaction should count less than the interactions of a less active user. That's kind of solvable, I think. The real problem is the authenticity. So if you get stopped from posting or liking hundreds of pages a day, then maybe you just create multiple accounts and operate them simultaneously. And this can only be solved by authenticity. So this can only be solved if you know that the person who is operating the account is just one person is operating one account. And this is really hard to do because Facebook doesn't know who is clicking. Is it a bot? Is it a click worker? Is it one click worker for 10 accounts? How does this work? And so this is really hard for the social media companies to do. And you could say, okay, let's send in the passport or something like that to prove authenticity. But that's actually not a good idea because nobody wants to send their passport to Facebook. And so this is really a hard problem that has to be solved if we want to use social media in a meaningful way. And so this is what companies could do. And now
what you could do. Okay, of course you can delete your Facebook account or your Instagram account and stop staying away from social media. But this maybe is not for all of us a solution. So I think be aware, of course, spread the word, tell others. And if you like, then and you get more intelligence about that, we are really happy to dig deeper in these networks, and we will go on investigating. And so last but not least, it's to say thank you to you guys. Thank you very much for listening. And we did not do this alone. We are not three people. There are many more standing behind and doing this beautiful research. And we are opening now for questions, please.
Yes. Please thank Svea, Phil, and Dennis again. And we have microphones out here in the room, about 9 of them, actually. If you line up behind them to ask a question, remember that a question is a sentence with a question mark behind it. And I think I see somebody at number 3, so let's start with that.
Hi, I just have a little question. Wouldn't a dislike button, the concept of a dislike button, wouldn't that be a solution too for all the problems?
So we thought about recommending that Facebook ditches the like button altogether. I think that would be a better solution than a dislike button, because a dislike button could also be manipulated. And it would be even worse, because you could actually manipulate the network into downranking posts or kind of not showing posts to somebody. And that, I think, would be even worse. I imagine what dictators would do with that. And so I think the best option would be to actually not show a like counts anymore, make people not invest into these counts if they become meaningless.
I think I see a microphone 7 all the way up there.
Yep. Hello. So one question I had is, you assigned creation dates to IDs. How did you do this?
We actually knew the creation date of some accounts, and then we kind of interpolated between the creation dates and the IDs. So you see this black line there, that's actually our interpolation. And with this black line, we can then estimate the creation dates for IDs that we do not yet know, because it kind of fills in the gaps.
Follow-up question, do you know why there are some points outside of this graph?
No.
Thank you.
So there was a question from the internet.
Did you report your findings to Facebook, and did they do anything?
Because this research is very new, we just recently approached them and showed them the research, and we got an answer. But I think we also already showed the answer. It was that they. That they only count and publish active users. They didn't want to tell us how many registered users they have. That they say, oh, sometimes users register accounts but don't use them or verify them, and that they regularly delete fake accounts. But we hope that we get into a closer discussion with them soon about this.
Microphone 2.
When hunting down the buyers of the campaigns, did you dig out your own campaign, line below the line?
No, because they stopped scraping in August.
Yeah.
And you stopped scraping in August, and then I started, the whole project started with them coming to us with the list. And then we thought, oh, this is very interesting. And then the whole journalistic research started, but I think if we would do it again, of course, I think we would find us. We also found there was another magazine, and they did also a test, a paid like test, a couple of years ago, and we found their campaign.
So we actually did another test, and for the other test, I know that we also got like this ID. I think, and it worked to plug it into this URL, and then we also got redirected to our own page, so that worked, yeah.
Thank you.
Microphone 3.
Hi, I'm Farhan. I'm a Pakistani journalist, and first of all, I would like to say that you were right when you said that there might be people sitting in Pakistan clicking on the likes. That does happen. But my question would be that Facebook does have its own ad program that it aggressively pushes. And in that ad program, there is also options whereby people can buy likes and comments and impressions and reactions. Would you also consider those as fake? They're not fake per se, but they're still bought likes. So what's your view on those? Thank you.
So when you buy ads on Facebook, then what you actually want to have is fans for your page that are actually interested in your page. So that's kind of the difference, I think, to the paid likes system, where the people themselves, they get paid for liking stuff that they wouldn't normally like. So I think that's the fundamental difference between the two programs, and that's why I think that one is unethical and one is not really that unethical.
The very problem is if you buy these click workers, then you have many people in your fan page. They are not interested in you. They don't care about you. They don't look at your products. They don't look at your political party. And then often the people, they additionally make Facebook ads. And these ads, they are shown, again, the click workers, and they don't look at them. So, you know, the people, they are burning money and money and money with this whole corrupt system.
So, microphone two.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for the talk and thanks for the effort of going through all of this project. From my understanding, this whole finding basically undermines the trust in Facebook's likes per se in general. So I would expect now the price of likes to drop and the pay for click workers to drop as well. Do you have any metrics on that?
The research just went public, I think, 1 week ago. So what we have seen as an effect is that Facebook, they excluded paid likes for a moment. So yes, of course, one platform is down, but I think there are so many outside. There are so many. So I think...
No, I meant the phenomenon of paid likes, not the company itself. Like the value of a like as a measure of credibility is declining now. That's my assumption.
Yes, that's why many people are buying Instagram hearts now. So yes, that's true. The like is not the fancy hot shit anymore, yes. And we also saw in the data that the likes for the fan pages, they rapidly went down. And the likes for the posts and the comments, they went up. So I think, yes, there is a shift. And what we also saw in the data was that the Facebook likes, they went down until from 2016. They are rapidly down. And what is growing and rising is YouTube and Instagram. Now everything is about today. Everything is about Instagram.
Thanks.
So let's go to number one.
Hello, and thank you very much for this fascinating talk, because I've been following this whole topic for a while. And I was wondering if you were looking also into the demographics in terms of age groups and social class, not of the people who are doing the actual liking, but actually, you know, buying these likes. Because I think that what is changing is an entire social discourse on social capital, in the Bourdieu-esque kind of term, because it can now be quantified. As a teacher, I hear of kids who buy likes to be more popular than their other schoolmates. So I'm wondering if you're looking into that, because I think that's a fascinating, fascinating area to actually come up with numbers about.
It definitely is. And we were also fascinated by this data set of 90,000 data points. And what we did was, and this was very hard, and was that we tried, first of all, to look who is buying likes, like, are this automotive, you know, to are this, what kind of branches, who is in that? And so this was doable, but to get more into demographics, you would have liked to crawl, to click every page. And so we did not do this. What we did was, of course, that we were a team of 3 to 10 people and manually looking into it. And what we, of course, saw that on Instagram and on YouTube, you have many of these very young people. Some of them I actually called them, and they were like, yes, I bought likes. Very bad idea. So I think, yes, I think there is a demographic shift away from the companies and the automotive and industries buying Facebook fan page likes to Instagram and YouTube wannabe influencers.
Influencer culture is obviously, yes, affected by this.
And I have to admit, here we showed you the political side, but we have to admit that the political likes, they were like this small in the numbers, and the very, very vast majority of this data set, it's about wedding planners, photography, tattoo studios, and influencers, and YouTubers, of course. Yes.
Thank you so much.
So we have a lot of questions in the room. I'm going to get to you as soon as we can, but I'd like to go to the internet first.
Do you think this will get better or worse if people move to more decentralized platforms?
More what?
If it get better or worse.
Can you repeat that, please?
Would this issue get better or worse if people move to more decentralized platform?
Decentralized, okay. So, I mean, we can look at this slide, I think, and think about whether decentralized platforms would change any of these two points here. And I don't think so, because they cannot solve the interactions problem, that people can be hyperactive. Actually, that's kind of a normal thing in social media, that a small portion of social media users is much more active than everybody else. That's kind of, you have that without paying for it. So without even having paid likes, you will have to consider if social media is really kind of representative of the society. But and the other thing is authenticity, and also in a decentralized platform, you can have multiple accounts run by the same person.
So, microphone 7, all the way back there.
Hi. Do you know if Facebook even removes the likes when they delete fake accounts?
Do you know that?
No. We don't know that.
No, we don't know. We know they delete fake accounts, but we don't know if they also delete the likes. I know from our research that the people we approached, they did not delete the click workers. They kept Thanks. Them.
So microphone 2.
Yeah, hi. So I have a question with respect to this. One out of four Facebook accounts are active in your test. Did you see any difference with respect to the age of the account? So is it always one out of four through the entire sample, or does it maybe change over the, like going from a zero idea to, well, 10 billion or 40 billion?
So you're talking about the density of accounts in our IDs, kind of. So so there are changes over time, yeah. So I think now it's less than it was before. So now there are less than four than and before it was more. And so I think it was, yeah, I don't know.
But you didn't see anything specific that now only in the new accounts only 1 out of 10 is active or valid, and before it was 1 out of 2 or something like that?
It's not that extreme. So it's less than that. It's kind of...
We have to say we did not check this, but there were no special cases. So
yeah, but it changed over time. So... Yeah. Before it was less, and before it was more, and now it is less. And so what we checked was whether an ID actually corresponds to an account. And so this metric, and it changed a little bit over time, but not much. So
number 3, please.
Yeah, thank you for a very interesting talk. At the end, you gave some recommendations how to fix the metrics, right? And it's always nice to have some metrics, because then, well, we are the people who deal with the numbers, so we want the metrics. But I want to raise the issue whether quantitative measure is actually the right thing to do. So would you buy your furniture from store A with 300 likes against store B with 200 likes? Or would it not be better to have a more qualitative thing? And to what extent is a quantitative measure maybe also the source of a lot of bad developments we see in social media to begin with? Even not with bot farms and anything, but just people who go for the quick like and say, hooray for Trump, and then you get whatever, all the Trumpists liking that, and the others say, fuck Trump, and you get all the non-Trumpists like that, and you get all the polarization, right? So Instagram, I think they just don't display their like equivalent anymore in order to prevent that. So could you maybe comment on that?
I think this is a good idea to hide the likes, yes. But we talked to many click workers, and they do a lot of stuff. And what they also do is taking comments and doing copy paste for comment section or for Amazon reviews. So, you know, I think it's really hard to get them out of the system because maybe if the likes are not shown and if when the comments are counting, then you will have people who are copy-pasting comments in the comments section. So I really think that the networks, they really have an issue here.
So let's try to squeeze the last three questions now. First, number 7, really quick.
Very quick. Thank you for the nice insights. And I have a question about the location of the users. So you made your point that you could analyze by the metadata where when the account was made. But how about the location of the followers? Is there any way to analyze that as well?
So we can only analyze that if the users agreed, as it share it publicly. And not all of them do that. I think often a name check is often a very good way to check where somebody's from for these fake likes, for example. But as I said, it always depends on what the user himself is willing to share.
Okay. Internet?
Isn't this just a Western version of the Chinese social credit system? Where do we go from here? What is the future of all this?
Yeah, that's a dystopian, right? So, yeah, I don't, after this research, you know, for me, I deleted my Facebook account like 1 or 2 years ago. So this, you know, this did not matter to me so much, but I stayed on Instagram. And when I saw all this bot likes and abonnents and followers and also YouTube, all these views, this because the click workers, they also watch YouTube videos. They have to stay on them like 40 seconds. It's really funny because they are hearing like techno music, rap music, all 40 seconds and then they go on. But when I sat next to Harald for 2 or 3 hours, I was so disillusionated about all the social network things and I thought, okay, don't count on anything. Just if you like the content, follow them and look at them, but don't believe anything. That was my personal takeaway from this research.
So very last question, microphone 2.
A couple of days ago, The Independent reported that Facebook, the Facebook app, was activating the camera when reading a news feed. Could this be used in the context of detecting fake accounts?
I don't know.
So I think that that in this particular instance, that it was probably a bug. So I don't know, but I mean, the people who work at Facebook are not all of them are like crooks or anything. They will deliberately program this kind of stuff. So they said that it was kind of a bug from an update that they did. And the question is whether we can actually detect fake accounts with the camera. And the problem is that I don't think that current face recognition technology is enough to detect that you are a unique person. So there are so many people on the planet that there are probably another person who has the same face. And I think the new iPhone, they also have this much more sophisticated version of this technology, and even they say, okay, there's a chance of one in, I don't know, that there is somebody who can unlock your phone. So I think it's really hard to do that with the current technology, to actually prove that somebody is just one person.
So with that, would you please help me thank Svea, Dennis, and Philip one more time for this fantastic presentation. Very interesting and very, very disturbing. Thank you very much.
back rooms of the world all night. Wasting your days, chasing some girls, all right, chasing cocaine through the back rooms of the world all night. Thank you.
Come on, boys, come on, girls, let's do the dominant blues. We got no dope, we got no pills, just the dominant blues. So that's what we got to use to get tipsy, and everybody's dancing round like a drifter. It peps you up, up, up to the top, just the dominant blues. It's gonna cheer you up when you're in a bad mood. It's gonna bring you back to your childhood. Once you tried it, you'll be in its might every night. Just for me and you. Come on, old ladies, come on, old guys, let's do the dominant blues. Old enough for rock and roll, young enough to get high. Now I'll show you how I feel at the moment. Oh, up, 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 beep, beep, beep. Oh, yeah, but the pop, the pop, but the pop, but the pop.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we start trailing the Shadow on his newest adventure, let me remind you that if you haven't yet replaced worn, smooth tires with new, safe, Goodrich Silver Towns, do it now. And the sooner, the safer. For remember, Silver Towns are the only tires that give you the skid protection of the Lifesaver tread, the amazing new Goodrich development that will stop you quicker, safer on a wet pavement than you've ever stopped before. And motorists, you don't have to take my word for it. The nation's largest independent testing laboratory, you know, tested the Silvertown stopping ability. They tested it against both regular and premium-priced tires of five other leading tire manufacturers. And their engineers found that no tire tested, regardless of price, came up to this new Silvertown in skid resistance. Motorists, that can mean only one thing. Your car and everyone in it will be safer if you ride on Goodrich Safety Silvertown. A Silvertown stop may save your life. The Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Cranston is known to the underworld as the Shadow. Never seen, only heard, his true identity is known only to his constant friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, he died at 12.
What's the matter, Commissioner Weston? Nervous? Can't you stand the sight of the scaffold?
Oh, listen, Cranston. I've been attending executions in the line of duty for more years than I'd like to remember. I tell you, hangings still do things to my insides.
Yeah, it'll all be over in a minute.
Well, at least I'm not the only one in this room who's nervous. About half the wise newspaper guys here look as if they were ready to pass out.
You must have started the death march.
What time is it?
12:02.
There's a headline for you. He died at 12.
If ever a man deserved to die, it's this Nick Baratte.
Yeah. He sure got it coming to him.
It's like something out of a jungle. Killing for the sake of killing.
Yes. My department's going to feel mighty relieved when that rope tightens around his neck.
Here they come.
Huh. That's queer.
What?
Baratte. He doesn't seem very frightened.
No, he doesn't.
Yet up to now, he's always shown a real fear of hanging.
Up here, Baratte.
You build this scaffold up high, eh, Warden?
It's the law, Baratte.
The law.
Stand here.
Okay.
All set, Mac?
All set, Warden.
Baratte, is there anything you want to say before you are hanged by the neck until you are dead?
No. Maybe I... No. No, I ain't got nothing to say.
All right, Mac. Put the hood over his head.
Yes, Warden.
Baratte.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Baratte. Everything's going to be all right.
That's a fine.
Everything's going to be all right.
Put the rope around his neck.
Okay, Warden.
Release the trap door.
Commissioner Weston, notice what happened before the trap door opened.
What?
The executioner whispered something into Baratte's ear. Now he was adjusting the hood over his head.
Well, what difference does that make? Baratte's dead. He's hanged now.
Yes. Yes, that's the end of Nick Baratte. But I wonder why he wasn't frightened.
Warden.
Yes, what is it?
Baratte's relatives are here to claim the body.
All right. Give it to them.
Here's the first one, boss.
Okay. Put him against the wall.
Oh, no. No, what is this? What are you doing to me? Where are you taking me?
Van Am, Mug.
Kidnapping? I haven't any money. I'm just a working man.
Shut your face. Take the blindfold off his eyes, Joe.
Okay, boss.
Well, what is this? I haven't done anything.
Now
I...
you look straight ahead, mister.
Well, you... Oh, no, don't shoot. Please, don't...
Here's the second one, boss.
Okay. Take the blindfold off.
Okay, fella, you can look now.
Where am I? What have I done?
You look straight ahead, rat.
Oh!
Afraid, eh?
Oh, you... Well, you're dead. You can't be alive. No, don't shoot. I haven't done anything. Help!
Okay, Joe. Now you get me the rest of them.
Paper, read all about it. Fifth mysterious murder in 5 days. Another man found murdered. Murder, mystery, read all.
All right, Margot, shut the window.
All right. Lamont, aren't you going to do anything about them?
About what?
You heard the news, boy.
You've got to make a living.
Lamont Cranston, you know perfectly well what I'm talking about. 5 murders in 5 days. Isn't there some way to stop them? You're just going to sit by?
On the contrary, my dear Margot, I'm not going to sit. I'm going to ride, and you're riding with me.
What are you talking about? Where are we riding?
To the place where the dead, even those who are hanged by the neck, should be. The cemetery.
sir. That's the grave, mister. That's the one over there.
Come on, Margot.
But please, Lamont, please tell me why you brought me out to this cemetery.
I'll understand why in a few minutes. Are you sure this is the grave, caretaker?
Oh, yes, indeed, sir. Yes, indeed. I've been in charge of the graves here for 30 years. Know every single one of them. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You see the headstone?
To the memory of Nicholas Baratti.
Yeah, you see, I told you I'd take you to the right one.
Thank you very much. Lady and I will stay out here a few moments, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, not at all, not at all. Are you relatives of this man?
No, not exactly. Here, send me your trouble.
Eh? Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you very much indeed.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
Did you see them bury Baratti?
Oh, indeed I did, sir. Yes, sir, indeed I did. I make it my business to be present at every one of the burials. Quite late in the day it was when they buried him. Yes, yes, remember. And a bad day, too. Thunder rumbling in the sky.
So you saw them bury him?
Oh, yes, yes, indeed I did. Yeah. Will that be all, sir?
Yes, that's all, thank you.
Well, see you on your way out.
Lamont, why does the burial place of this murderer concern you?
I wanted to make sure of something.
That he was buried here?
Yes. You know that the shadow doesn't always work on facts, Margot. Sometimes he's able to accomplish a great deal more by basing his actions on... Well, call it intuition, hunch, anything you will.
I know that, but what has Nick Baratti's grave got to do with the shadow?
I'm very concerned with those five murders which have taken place during the last 5 days. Well, so have I. That's why we're here.
But what could a man who's been dead for weeks have to do with those killings?
Just it. I wanted to make sure he was dead and buried.
But you yourself saw Baratti hang.
I know, but somehow during all those weeks since, I've never been able to forget the confident look on the man's face as he climbed the steps to the scaffold.
Well, now you're sure he's dead and buried. Oh, come on, it's so dark. Let's get out of here.
All right.
I never did like graveyards, particularly at twilight.
Strange.
What's strange?
I saw the man hang by the neck until dead, and yet there's a feeling in me that all isn't what it seems to be. Wait.
What is it now?
The caretaker's house. I want to ask him another question.
All right, Lamont, but please make it fast. The longer I stay here, the less I care for this place.
Oh, well, it's you, sir. You leaving so soon?
Yes, and before we go, there's another question I'd like to ask you.
Well, you just go right ahead. Anything you want, sir.
The coffin opened before Baratti's body was finally lowered into the grave?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed, sir. I remember that. Yes, I do. Opened it right up, the relatives did. Weeping and wailing, a lot of them.
And there was a body in the coffin?
A body in the coffin? But of course there was. What else would they want to be burying it for?
Thanks. Thanks very much.
Oh, not at all, not at all. And there'll be plenty more burials, too, if these killings go on.
What do you mean?
Well, I was just reading this here evening paper. Another one was murdered back in town.
Another one?
Yes, six in 6 days.
Oh, Lamont.
This is that paper.
Yes, indeed. Here you are, sir. Sure.
Yeah. Another victim of mysterious murder. Wave Charles Harrison was found shot to death. Charles Harrison.
Why? Did you know him, Lamont?
I was right. Right. Come on to the car, Margot.
But, Lamont, I...
Come along. Charles Harrison, I knew my hunch was right. Get in the car, quickly.
All right, but please tell me what this is all about.
My hunch. It was right. The murder of Charles Harrison definitely proves it.
What was your hunch? And what does the murder of this Charles Harrison prove?
6 men have been murdered in the last 6 days. No witnesses. Each of the victims shot through the head.
Well?
Each and every one of those murdered men spent a week together in a jury box as jurymen at the murder trial of Nick Baratti.
You mean someone's been avenging the death of Baratti?
Yes, exactly. But Nick Baratti was a rat. All the members of his own gang hated him. I know that for a fact. They wouldn't revenge him.
Then who is committing the murders?
Well,
Lamont, you don't think that Nick Baratti...
He's dead. Dead and buried, they tell me. The dead don't come back. But if they do, the shadow is going to find out.
Ladies and gentlemen, in a moment, we'll again pick up the trail of the shadow. But meanwhile, let me say this. You're reading a lot these days in the newspapers about the hazard zone of motoring. What is this hazard zone?
The shadow knows. It's that slippery film of water on the road that may make complete command of your car almost impossible, causing your car to skid, spin, swerve.
Remember, motorists, the tire that will give you the quickest, safest, non-skid stops in this hazard zone is the new Goodrich Silvertown with Lifesaver tread. Every inch of this wider, flatter tread is specially designed to dry the road. In fact, the never-ending spiral bars of this Lifesaver tread act like a whole battery of windshield wipers. They sweep the water right and left, force it out through the deep drainage groove. Make a dry track for the rubber to grip. That's why you'll stop quicker, safer on a wet pavement than you've ever stopped before. And don't forget, adding one safety feature to another, Silvertowns also give you the famous golden ply protection against high-speed blowout. Thus, the lives of yourself and family are protected two important ways, against both skids and blowouts. And motorists, don't forget that you get this double protection in Silvertowns at no extra cost. Don't cheat yourself out of this new kind of tire safety. Stay on the sunny side of motoring. Make your next tires Goodrich Safety Silvertown.
Now, Judge, there's no reason to get so excited.
Commissioner Weston, I have plenty of reason to get excited. Do you realize what the death of these men will mean to the future administration of justice in our courts?
But we're doing everything in our power to protect...
Yes, to protect the survivors. But what about the six who were murdered?
But, Judge, we had no idea there was a plot to exterminate those jurymen. If we had, we'd have taken measures immediately.
That's the point. You didn't know. The entire police department didn't know, and you should have known. You should have known at once.
How could we? Men are found murdered on lonely roads. I tell you, there wasn't the slightest reason to connect them with the Baratti murder trial.
It was a matter of deduction. And certainly the ability to reason things out is one of the things we should be able to expect from our police department.
Now, Judge, be fair. There was no reason to tie up the murders with the Baratti trial. How you ever discovered that all six men were on the jury is more than I can figure. Why, there's been hundreds of trials since then. How did you do it, Judge?
I didn't do it.
But you were the one who discovered that the victims had been jurymen.
I repeat, I didn't discover that fact. It was revealed to me by an anonymous letter I received in the mail.
Anonymous letter?
Yes, here. There it is. Look at the signature.
The shadow.
Yes. Rather a peculiar signature, isn't it?
Peculiar? Judge, why in heaven's name didn't you tell me this before? The shadow.
Now, Commissioner, surely you don't believe the nonsense I've been reading about this super being of criminal investigation.
So the shadow was the one who worked out the fact that the murdered men were Baratti jurymen. I might have guessed it.
Commissioner Weston, stop wasting my time talking about someone who doesn't exist. Your duty is to trace down the murders of those jurymen. If you don't, the entire law enforcement organization of the city may be irreparably damaged. What citizen will want to act on the jury if he thinks that the assassin's gun waits for him as soon as he leaves the courtroom? I tell you, forget about this so-called shadow. Get those murderers.
With the shadow on my side, I'm sure I will. Good night, Judge.
Good night. Imagine Commissioner Weston believing in such rot as a shadow.
Nonsense.
No, not nonsense, Judge.
Who? Who speaks?
The shadow. I am the shadow.
The shadow? I hear the voice. Yet I see no one.
It is my will that men should never see me.
It can't be.
And yet your senses tell you that it is so. You hear my every word.
Yes, I hear.
I have come to ask you a favor.
Favor? Of me?
Yes.
What can I do for you?
Six men still live. The rest of the men who served on the jury that convicted Nick Baratti.
Well?
You can save the lives of those six.
I? How can I save their lives?
By doing as I say. Will you help me?
What do you want me to do?
There are detectives.